we look here, you know, Jesus makes this statement. It's a really big deal. And for us as Christians, we really need to pay attention to many of the things that go on here. It's the last of the I am statements declaring that Jesus Christ, he's the deity. He is God. And so these seven statements in the Gospel of John that we see, Jesus proclaims, and we are assured that he's God. Anybody here this morning would testify that Jesus is God. Amen. And Jesus has told his disciples in the prior verse that he's leaving. He's told them, you followed me for these 3.5 years, but you know from John 14 and this discord that they're at the Last Supper. And at the conclusion of John 14, Jesus says, let us go henceforth. And what he was saying is, it's time for me to go be given into the hands of sinful man. Judas is going to betray. The rest of you are going to come, and I'm going to go pray. And three, John, James, and Peter, you're going to come out of stones cast from me and watch guard. And then I'm ultimately going to be arrested, taken, stripped, put on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. And so as Jesus is leaving, they asked him that question last week. Thomas says, we don't know where you're going or how to get there. And he says, yes, you do. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. And so as they're on their way out of this place, in the conclusion of chapter 14, he says, arise, let us go hence. They're going for it. Jesus tells his disciples, hey, listen, follow me and follow this way, this truth and the life. But now he explains to them, as I'm going away, how can you stay connected to me? How can you stay connected to this way, this truth, and this life? Many of us have loved ones that have gone on to glory. And we keep these mementos, or we keep something that reminds us or keeps us connected to them. And so you may have an urn if they were cremated, or you may have a program from their funeral service, or some article of clothing or something that they left behind that you cherish and value. And so you've kept this thing. And the reason why you keep that is so that you can stay connected to that loved one that's gone on before you. And Jesus is going to give the disciples and us a way that we can stay connected to him. And that's where we pick up in John chapter 15 this morning. I invite you, if you're able, to stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word. John 15 and verse 1 this morning. John 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine. This last great I am statement. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, don't be confused by that word in the King James. It literally just means farmer. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. I know not so long ago I preached out of this text, and remember that word abide means to stay. It means to stay put where you are. And so he says, abide, stay in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, I ask first and foremost that you would hide me behind your cross. Allow me to say nothing that isn't right from you. Father, I pray now that as we all understand that the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, that the word of our God shall stand forever. Lord, we ask now that you would put a blessing upon this place and in your word, and that at that time of invitation and appeal, that we would all make decision, Lord, to stand for the truth of the word of God and for the Savior of the world. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The vine in the Bible generally speaks of Israel, but whenever you see in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, the word vine or the imagery of a vine, it's actually speaking about sinful Israel. It never speaks of them as bearing positive fruit. It actually speaks of Israel being a fruitless vine. One of the ways we see that is in Jeremiah chapter 2, speaking of the people of Israel. Jeremiah 2 says, yet I had planted thee a noble vine. God says, I planted you and I know what I made was good. I was reading in my own personal study in the book of Numbers and got to that story where God is so sick of Israel and their sin. And he's so sick of the way they've acted in just a few short weeks that he says, Moses, I'm going to get rid of these people and I'm going to start a new nation with you. And Moses says, Lord, if you do that, the Egyptians will say you just brought them out to kill them. And God, they've been a hard-headed, stiff-necked, just horrible people from the time that I put them into this place. And so Jeremiah says, hey, God planted a noble vine, a holy right seed. It was right in the Lord. Then art thou turned. You see, that's repentance in the reverse direction. You've gone the wrong way into this degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me. It's an unfruitful vine. And there's many other Old Testament scriptures that explain that Israel was fruitless, that they were not doing the things that God had planted them to do. Israel, how did you become so corrupt? I know I planted a good vine. It's a constant theme of the Old Testament. But then we contrast that with the New Testament. And so Jesus, there's this little sneaky word in this Bible this morning. He doesn't say, I am the vine. He says, I am the true vine. And the reason why he says that is because the leaders and the nobles of Israel, they had got to thinking that they were all that and a bag of Carolina gold grippos. And so they were walking around saying, we're the vine and you can't do anything. They were saying, we're the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus wants to be very clear that I am the true vine. And that all the other vines, without me, you are nothing but a dead branch. You're nothing. You're abominable and fruitless. And so his proclamation is very clear here that not only am I the true vine, but that statement could only be made of one person, the Jewish Messiah, whom we know as Jesus. He's the fulfiller of the law. He's greater than Moses and the prophets. We have a psalm in Psalm 80 that explains this in selected verses. Look at Psalm 80, verses 7 through 9 this morning. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. I love that, because you know what it says? It says, help us to repent, and we're going to believe, and then we'll be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. He took Israel and brought them out of Egypt, but then they became a fruitless vine, so bad that 40 years they had to wander in the wilderness because of their murmuring, because of their unbelief against God and his prophet Moses. Even so bad, Moses' brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam, murmured against him. And you know what God did, Old Testament. See, the pastor would love this every once in a while. When somebody gets to acting a fool in church, God says, okay, Miriam, and he made her leprous, and she had to go outside of the camp for 7 days. And Moses and Aaron said, oh, don't do this to her. He said, No, she acted up and she needs to be punished. And so for 7 days, she has to live outside of the camp as a leper. You know, if people start getting leprous in the church, a lot of things would change, wouldn't it? If people was acting up and all of a sudden we saw somebody come in and say, oh, no, you can't come in here. You got leprosy. Like, that's like not a real thing anymore, we don't think. But wouldn't things change if that happened? If you could see physical proof or evidence of someone's sin, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. God said, not only did I plant you there, I got rid of all your enemies. I got rid of all the Midianites and the Hittites and the Hivivites and the Perizzites and the Lezizzites and the Tizzizzites and the Rizzizzites and all those things I can't pronounce. Some of those I made up. If you go looking for some of those, you're going to be like, preacher, that ain't in there. You're right. Thou preparest room before it and didst cause it to take deep root and fill the land. Now, skip over to verse 12 of Psalm 80. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges? So now God says, okay, Babylonian captivity, I'm going to put you under captivity, and things are going to happen so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her. They take all the things of Israel, all the gold of Israel, all the temple is destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar takes all the vessels out of the temple. I mean, we tore it down because of your sin, because I planted a good vine and you turned into a corrupt and nasty vine. Go over to verse 17 through 18. Now it's going to talk about Messiah. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and it's where he sat before he came even as well. Upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will we not go back from thee. Quicken us. save us, make us alive, and we will call upon thy name. And so when we look at this vine, I'm going to be very quick this morning, maybe the quickest I've ever been. Nobody believes me. All right. Number one, this true vine is the life giver. You know, there's a big tree in my front yard, a huge tree, and it's alive, and it has lots of leaves, and right now the leaves are falling off of it, but when it's good and alive, and when a wind comes through, a lot of the branches fall off of that tree, and where we park our cars, you have to be careful because the branches fall down, and at my house, it's one of the cool jobs at our house because if you pick up enough of those sticks and branches, you can take them to the backyard and make a fire, and where there's a fire at my house, there's s'mores. Praise be to God and hallelujah in heaven, and so we collect those, but you know, it's interesting. Because as long as the branches are connected to the vine, as long as they're connected to the tree, they have life. And they bud abundantly. But what's interesting is when one of those branches falls off that has leaves on it, you can start to see the deterioration. You can start to see the death in that branch. In about 24 hours, you'll start to see those leaves start to shrivel up. You'll start to see that tree that once was a branch and connected, you'll begin to see it die. And sometimes even in the church, we can't tell the difference between the live branches and the branches that are dead and aren't providing good fruit. Listen to me. Maybe you don't know anything about trees, but I know this. Listen, dead branches don't produce any fruit. And so we have to remember that he's the life giver. Branches that break off look the same for a while, but then it begins to show that they're disconnected from life. Jesus is explaining to them, remember the context, he's going away. How can you stay connected? How can you have a piece of me? Well, Jesus gives it in very simple fashion when he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. But Jesus also, at the very beginning of the Gospel of John, we know this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was with God in the beginning, and nothing was made except that it was made by him. But watch this. So this word, Jesus says, in order for you to stay alive and have live fruit-bearing activities, you have to stay connected to the word. I want to be very clear this morning, and you've heard me ask millions of times, do I have a Bible reader in this place? But really what Jesus is getting to the root of for these folks is you've got to stay connected to the word of God if you want to have a life that's abundant and a lively life. It never fails, and after many years of ministry, it never fails when somebody falls or somebody has some kind of issue going on. One of the first questions I ask them is, have you been reading and spending time in your Bible daily? And almost 100% of the time, those people say, I don't know the last time I read my Bible, or no, I've not been dedicated in reading my Bible. And listen, reading your Bible is not going to make your life perfect, but I tell you this much, not reading your Bible, not being connected is going to make you have a dead religion. Yeah. You'll be disconnected from the life giver. Remember what Jesus says here in the verse. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. He's the farmer. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that he beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. But watch this. He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. How do you remain clean? How do you remain connected to Jesus Christ? You remain connected through his word. It's not just the spoken preached word, because that won't be enough. If you think you can show up to church on Sunday morning and that's all you're going to do and stay connected, you're not very connected. Are you more connected to the world or are you more connected to the Lord? And if you stay more connected to the world, guess what? You're going to bear fruit, but it'll be rotten fruit. Now, I'm, again, no fruit inspector. And I'm not the greatest at this, but one of the things that I don't enjoy about grocery shopping is trying to find the good fruit. Now, your idea of good fruit and my idea of good fruit may be different, but you know what is really hard to find these days? Somebody ought to testify. It's hard to find a good sweet watermelon at the store. Yeah, so you see them shaking their head? They with me this morning. I like it. All right, I like it. They're with me. You start talking about food and ABC gets excited. Come on. But you know, you cut it open, it looks good on the outside. It looks delicious. You open it up, it's red and sweet, and you know me, I got to get to it. I don't want nothing with the seeds in it. I want that seedless now, you know what I mean? So I can get right into it. My parents told me when I was a little kid, if you swallow the seeds, you're going to grow a watermelon in your belly. Anybody ever heard that before? So I was afraid of the seeds. I want that. My parents were some liars, man. I look back on it and say, liars, boy, liars. They said a lot of things to me, you know. You'd be at the store and be like, that's how little kids get kidnapped. That is not how little kids get kidnapped, just because they took their hand off the car. Mama, I'm right here. But anyway, that's the kind of stuff they said to us back in the day. But you know, I think about that, and you can go and you can get a piece of fruit and it looks really good on the outside. And it might even look really good on the inside. But then you take a bite of it and it's not any good. And that's what a Christian looks like. On the outside, it looks good, and we'll never know. We can't tell. We're not good at judging that just by appearance, nor should we judge by appearance. But the heart, what you do and how you study your Word of God and how you stay connected to Jesus will proceed out of your body and will show up in your actions. And sometimes it's never confusing to me when somebody says, well, I haven't been reading my Bible, why they got bitter fruit, why they got rotten fruit. Because Jesus says you can't be alive or have any good fruit unless you're connected to me. And he goes on to explain there, and how are you going to be connected to me? By abiding, by staying in my word. This is Christianity 101, but we often forget it and need a reminder. Oh, my life is just going so hard. Have you been in your word? It's more than discipleship. It's more than just reading. It's getting deep down into this text and looking and saying, Lord, how can I stay connected to you? Not just flipping it over and saying, oh, that's my verse of the day. That ain't going to work. God ain't a genie. But listen, the way it works is that you stay in this. You stay rooted in the word. And when you're rooted in the word, then you're rooted in the vine. And out of the vine produce these branches. And off of the branches produce good fruit when you're connected. Because we got to understand, why is that so important? Because we got to see, number two, who the fruit's owner is. One of the things Christians say that's actually not true, and I've said it before, is we say, oh, you led that person to the Lord, that's fruit to your account. Now, biblically, Paul talks about us having this fruit to our account, but when we say fruit to our account, what we're actually saying is, it's fruit that's God's. Because you can't save a soul. You can't keep a soul saved. And the only thing you can actually do is tell somebody about Jesus and help them get connected to the word, get connected to the vine. And the more connected they get to the vine, the more they'll realize that they're his and he's theirs, and that they'll be able to have produced good fruit. But it's really not fruit to our account, because he says this. Jesus says, wait a minute now. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that he may bring forth more fruit. But he says the Father's the farmer. Some of you folks in here that are from the South, you lived and you understood and you've been around sharecroppers. And it's like the imagery of a sharecropper. You get to get a little piece of land and be a tenant and live on the farmer's land. And you get to farm this little piece of property. And you go back to the farmer and pay rent and do these things. But you get to keep what you farm to eat and good. And so it's a pretty good deal. You don't own the land. There's a farmer. But you're going out and the fruit that's produced, the farmer grew it. You're going and picking it. And you get to keep some of that. And so Jesus says, I produced it all. I own it all. My Father, he's the farmer. He has it all. You go and pick some of it, and then God allows you to keep of it, and you get some of the fruit every once in a while. Praise be to God. Wasn't the choir good this morning? It's not my fruit. It's not their fruit. It's the fruit of the Lord. Because they're rooted in it, and they say, we want to sing out loud for the joy of the Lord and sing unto the Lord. And the Lord said, oh, it's a sweet sound on my ear. Make a joyful noise, all ye lands. And when that happens, it's not fruit. But guess what? But we all got to experience, and it was good to us too. And that's what a sharecropper looks like. The vine gives us life, but then we give our life to bear fruit for the vine. Verse 2, it goes on there. We got to be very careful. Here's what it's not saying. Some deep-rooted Bible believers believe this, and you got to be careful. Because if you read verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. If you just read that, you might believe that there's something you can do, that it's works-based, that you can produce good fruit, and that your good fruit would allow you to be on the farm. But read it in reverse. He says, my Father is the husbandman. which means I already own you. Read the context of the entire thing. Remember, there's no break from John 13 to the end of John 13 all the way up to this point in John 15. He's having this one conversation. He's already said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not talking about a works-based salvation. He says, now that you're already saved, he says, the way that this works is you go out and get fruit, but the only way that you can go out and bear good fruit is if you stay connected to me. You can be saved but not be reading your Bible. You can be saved and not be in prayer. You can be saved and not being in church. Now, I'm sure it's possible, but I don't know too many people who actually go out and see people saved that aren't in their Bibles, that aren't praying, that aren't in church. I guess it's possible, but I don't know too many people that aren't serious, not just show up to church, but serious about the things of the Lord. So we got to be very careful. He explained that in John 14, 6, how to be saved. But when Jesus saves you, hear me, church, if you hear nothing else, hear this morning. When Jesus saves you, you will produce good fruit. When he saves you, you will produce good fruit. That's why half of the churches in America, while we're concerned whether the people in them are really saved or not, or whether they've just made a profession, whether they just have a head knowledge, or whether they've got a heart knowledge, because watch this, it's biblical. If you're truly saved, you won't have to worry about whether or not you're producing good fruit, because you'll have to, because it's the work that comes out of you because you're truly saved. It will supernaturally happen, and all we need to do is stay connected to the vine, and you will produce fruit even when you don't know you're producing fruit. Sometimes you're producing fruit, and you didn't even know you're producing fruit just by being salt and light in the world. Somebody sees your actions, somebody sees your behaviors, and sometimes you got rotten fruit because you're a Christian, but you act like you're not a Christian, and so that don't look good. But watch this. Jesus says the truly saved will produce good fruit. Look at Matthew 7, 16 through 18. He says, okay, he's talking to saved people here. Remember, he's talking to the disciples. And so we got to get context. This isn't one of those times where he's talking to the Pharisees or Sadducees. He's talking to saved people. He's already told them how to be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now he's telling them how to be connected and what your connectivity will do for you. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Well, heavens, no. Even so, every good tree breathes. Watch this. Every good tree, you're saved. The Bible says you're a good tree. And every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree, a lost person, is only going to bring forth evil fruit. You say, well, I'm saved, but I could still bring forth evil fruit. Technically, you can sin, but understand this. There's a big difference between condemnation and chastening. And the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus in Romans 8. And so you can't be condemned to hell once you're saved, but you can be chastened because God chastens those who he loves. There's a difference between condemnation and chastening. But a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. When you're saved, it's impossible. You can either bring no fruit at all or you can bring good fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Guess what? That's why a moral good person can't be saved, because they can't bring forth any good fruit, because it's not supernatural, because they've never been born again. You can't bring spiritual fruit unless you've been born again spiritually. Come on. Now listen, some of you are going to get mad. And to be quite honest with you, I don't care that much. But some people are, a couple of days ago, some people will spend a fortune, and they will go crazy on October 31st and say, it's all about, and whether you, I'm not going to get into whether it's right or wrong. I don't really care about none of that. What I'm saying to you is, they'll spend a fortune, and people will be talking about ghosts and ghouls and all this other stuff, and, oh, it's a little bit spooky out here. We play no games. It'll be a little nerve-wracking, and they'll be so afraid of all that stuff. But the Holy Ghost, let me correct you for a moment. The Holy Ghost is not an it. He's a he. He's a person. He's a part of the Trinity, and he has a personality. And you know, Ghostbusters said a long time ago, I ain't afraid of no ghost. Well, guess what? You know why I'm not afraid of no ghost? Because he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And so the Holy Ghost is the only ghost I'm concerned about. And if you're supernaturally born again by the Spirit of God, he which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. Jesus tells Nicodemus in John 3, if you're truly truly saved, then you've been born again. And if you're born again, then that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, indwelled in you is living, and He automatically keeps you connected to Christ. And so you gotta bear and you gotta bring forth the fruit of the Spirit of Galatians 5. You can't bring forth anything else. And if you started to, you would stop yourself and get right, or God would chasten you and help you get right. Some of these young people, I'll tell you what, I know they think I'm hard on them, but all my people in here, if you was born in the 1900s, you might get it. But man, I'll tell you what, I saw something the other day, I thought this was funny, and I get it. COVID wasn't around when I was a kid, but there was all kinds, you know, some of that stuff, it is what it is, but when I was a little kid, everybody was going to die from AIDS. Y'all remember, the AIDS pandemic, it was like there was no cure from that. Magic Johnson's 757 years old, and he just keeps getting fatter. Like, buying more stuff. And I'm not making fun. I'm just saying, like we don't talk about AIDS that much anymore. We used to have seminars in school when we was little about how to do this. When I first started in corrections about this and that, nobody ever talks about that no more. You want to know why? Because they got all these different things, medicines and things like that, that keep it at bay and all this. But I know this, and here's where I'm going with this. You know, we as young, when we were young people, man, we think about how germy we lived our lives. Now, yeah, some of y'all are laughing because you know. Think about how germy it was. Now every kid got to go to school and have their own water bottle. Man, I shudder to think how many times I drank out of that old nasty hose. Anybody ever had a little hose water in their life? Little for my squirt gun, little for me. Little for my squirt gun, little for me. You know what I'm talking about. We all back, Daddy, I'm thirsty. You see that hose? I don't want hose water. When I was at my grandpa's house, they had the well, and you had to pump it like this. You know what I'm talking about? Come on now. You had to pump that thing. And me and my cousins would be out there pumping that thing all day. Like some dogs out there. We so hot. It'd be 137 degrees. And Big Mama like, y'all can't come in this house. Y'all tearing up my good furniture. They got the plastic on it. Come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's how I was raised around my grandparents. They said, you can't come in here and bring all that. All you and your little thug cousins stay outside and play football and basketball. About 10 o'clock at night, y'all can come in. And then what they say, and y'all better soak in the tub before you come in. You have grass things. You'd be in there. It'd be itching you to death. Everything else. And my grandma, she'd put all 37 cousins in one tub. You know what I'm talking about? Like, country people, boy, I told you, ain't nothing worse than country thugs. Ain't nothing worse than country thugs. But I tell you what it is this. When you get into that situation, when you remember how you were raised up and you remember these things, you know, not everything we did was right. I get that. But now, man, people in church and things, and forgive me, what happens is we've made the culture so soft. Everybody's got to have their water bottles, got to have their name on it because we're afraid of germs. When I was on the football team, we all just drink out of the same water bottle. Now they do waterfalls. We didn't do waterfalls. We just all up on it. But you know what? I've had all my tests and stuff. As far as I know, I'm clean. I don't got nothing. I don't got no diseases or nothing. But where I'm going with this is this. Sometimes our judgment of what good fruit is isn't God's judgment of good fruit. See, 30 years ago, the idea of what good parenting looked like isn't the same as today. No offense, young people, but they be cracking me up. Well, we read the parenting books. Just go ahead and burn them. Just go throw them away. If you think that parenting book, because just wait. When they get to, see, it's cool when they're 3-4 years old. Oh, yeah. When they start to talking back and their neck gets to moving like this all here, like this here, and they talking to the hand and they doing all this stuff in here, like, the parenting books don't prepare you for all that. So then you got to get your inner thug. And you got to let the wrath of mom or dad out on sometimes. Listen, you get mad at me. I told you before, if you don't want to whoop your kids, call me over. I'm the whooping fairy. I love kids, but if you don't want to do it, I'll do it in the middle of the night. They'll never know it was me. I'll sneak in, I'll sneak out. And I'm out. It wasn't me. It was the whooping fairy. You know what I'm talking about? It was me. If that's what you want, I mean, I come all up in there. Just leave the window open for me. You know what I'm talking about? You don't even got to leave the lights on. I'm like a ninja. I will get in and get out. I was taught about this. You know, I mean, I was born in 1982, and I can remember living just long enough that world was different, and what we identify as good fruit now and what we identified as good fruit then, and these things change. But here's what Jesus says. He's talking about he doesn't change, and good fruit, it only comes if you're connected to him. But he says, if you're connected to me, it will be impossible for you not to have good fruit. Here's where I was going with it. Listen, your children, you might stray from here to here, but I know this about people. Even if they make mistakes, they still knew right from wrong, because they were connected enough to how they were raised up and mom and dad. And they make some decisions that you don't like. I made some knucklehead decisions. I still make some knuckleheaded decisions. But I know this much. I know what's right and what's wrong, because back in those days, it was beaten to me that you was going to do it right. Now, I'm not advocating any type of violence. I'm not advocating any type of torture, nothing like that. But listen, I say beat. My parents didn't beat me. They righteously whooped me because I needed it. And God says, I'm a chasing those who I love, because it's really important. Because number three, there's a purging of the branches. I set it all up so we could get to number three and I'm finished. The Greek word kathariro, it means the only time in the Bible this word is used is right here in verse 2. He purgeth it. It's the only time you ever see that word in the King James Bible. And it just means this. It means he cleanses it. When you're truly saved, God will sanctify you. And the work of sanctification is something that you get to partner in, but it's a supernatural work of God. God begins to change things. Listen, the way I used to be, God started changing. And one day I woke up and was like, wait a minute, why don't I like alcohol no more? Because God took the taste out of my mouth. Well, one day I woke up and I said, oh, why don't I curse no more? Because God took those words out of my mouth. Listen, and sometimes sanctification is a process, and sometimes it takes long, but I'll say this to you, but it don't take forever. Sometimes you just got to get up and change it. You know what I mean? One day I realized, brother, you're going bald. And it was no sense in just waiting around. Go ahead and get the Mach 3 and let it have it. You know what I'm talking about? Shave it off, because it ain't coming back. I tried. Taking all them little supplements and everything else. Try to change my diet. They said, well, garlic is good for it. That didn't work. Just had me stinking everywhere. Just smell like garlic, huh? So frustrated about it. Me and God, we talk about it all the time. The only thing I just want to have one more fade, just one more time, God. It's a thorn in my flesh. He said no. But it's all right when I get to heaven, me and Dr. J gonna have the best afros. But anyways, get back to my notes. It means to prune it, to cleanse it, to take this fruit. See, The branch has been bearing good fruit, but every once in a while it needs to be cut back so it can bring even more fruit the next time. And it comes back stronger. And so you might be bringing a little fruit, but you got to get in your word, because God says you can bring much more fruit. Let me purge it. Let me clean you up a little bit. And Jesus told the apostles just a couple of chapters before this. He told them at the beginning of this, remember, he washed their feet. He says, thou art clean because you're saved. You're completely clean. So you're a clean vessel unto honor. Being cleansed or purged by the word is not always easy. Sometimes it's a painful process, isn't it? Can I just be honest with you and I'll be finished? The word of God rains on my parade a lot. The word of God rains on my parade regularly. I be thinking I'm doing pretty good, and then I get into my word and I'm reading, I'm like, oh, I ain't been doing that the right way. The word of God is like a school teacher that won't leave you alone. It's that school teacher that'll be like, you know what? You're not living up to your potential, Mr. Thompson. And I had this old school teacher, Mr. Barkey, and he used to walk around the room like this when we were taking tests. And he'd be talking smack while you're taking a test. Oh, I wanted to punch Mr. Barkey. Oh, I wanted to get him so bad. If I didn't think I would have went to jail, I'd have tripped him when he was walking down the aisle one time. We'd be taking a test, and he'd be like, I don't know, Mr. Thompson, doesn't look too good to me. What kind of stuff is that? Mr. Barkey, 10th grade geometry, I promise. He'd be like, I don't know, Brother AJ. You might want to check number 3 again. What? Like, who does that while you're taking a test? Mr. Barkey did that. And I learned, you know, even though I didn't like the tactic, he cared about us, and he was looking over our shoulder. And if you paid attention to what he was saying and you went back and looked over it, he was actually trying to help you correct that answer so you could get a better grade. And the word of God, sometimes I'd be like, God, why? The word of God is just hanging on my shoulder and just looking down on me. But the word of God, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's in there not to hurt me, but to bring more fruit to him, to correct me so that my life will be a picture of bearing good fruit. Because when we bear good fruit, Christian, it glorifies our Father, which is in heaven, and makes him look like the farmer that he truly is, the greatest of all time. I'll be like, Bible, why you got to meddle with my life? Husband, sometimes I be thinking, you know what? My wife, she just on my nerves today. Why is she always on me about something? Then I get into my word. Just so happens, you know, it'd be Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. And I'd be like, God, why are you always in my business? You know what I'm talking about? I just had to be reading that today. The way I read my Bible, I things sneak up on me. Like, I forget what's coming next. And they'd be like, I don't want to forgive anybody, God. I don't feel like forgiving today. I'm mad at them. And then they'd be like, oh, guess what? Ephesians 4 is right there. Be tenderhearted, kindly affectionate toward one another. Forgive. God, you didn't have to put that in there. We could have skipped that today. Like, why is he's... Like, am I alone? Come on, holler if you hear me. You ever just be reading the Bible, you feel like the Bible is like meddling on you? Sometimes I hear this, sometimes it's the preacher that gets you. You came to church and you was feeling good, and then the preacher say something like, why do you have to bring that up? Why is he talking to me? Like, you think I've been in your diary. You know what I'm talking about? I wasn't, I don't know. But you know what God's doing? He's purging the branches so it can bring back more fruit. He's cleansing it so it can do better. You know, one of the reasons why Jesus is the true vine is because sometimes we, in our own strength, our own power, think we're going to do something our way and that it's going to work, that we're going to be able to bring forth fruit. We think we're going to be able to do it our way. God, I can, this is my favorite one. You're not reading your word. You're not praying. I can show up to church every once in a while and everything is going to be good. I call myself a Christian. Everything's going to be good. It doesn't work like that because you're not connected. There's no life. You're not staying connected. And guess what I know about branches? Branches can't reattach themselves. When they fall off, they're just off. And I guess supposedly there's these people that can tie in branches and heal them back up. The only person I ever saw do it was Mr. Miyagi. But listen, that's, if you don't know Karate Kid, you don't understand. But what I'm saying is, but you can't repair it because it's a supernatural fruit anyway. It's a supernatural branch anyway. So only God can bring it back together. And then how would God do that? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and by the regeneration of the washing of water through the Holy Spirit. The only way this can happen is if you get spiritual and you get into your word, then you can start to produce this good fruit. And the only way you can get yourself cleansed up, the only way you can get yourself from falling off, is if you get into the word of God, and if you allow yourself to be cleansed by the word of God. Teenagers, you're mad at your parent, you're doing the wrong things behind their back, you're in sin, you read the Bible, God will start meddling on you. You read it, he'll get you right. You'll just happen to run into, obey thy father and thy mother, and thy days on earth shall be long. Mama, I've been messing up. Some of you wives, you be like, Xavier, get the shield because the stones are coming. I don't want to submit. He's not doing the right things. God didn't ask you about that. He just said you submit. He didn't ask you your opinion. You just do right. Some of you are like, well, I want to do this. I want to do that. I'd like to do it this way. God wasn't asking your opinion. He said, here's my word. You don't stay connected to Jesus through your opinion or through your works. You stay connected to Jesus through his word. And so I finish and conclude with this morning. As we finish these great I am statements, I'm going to give you a semi-benediction. the great I am, Jesus Christ says, I am God, right? And so all these statements he makes, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the great shepherd. I am, watch, all these things he's telling us some semblance of who he is. But then this last I am statement, he tells us how we can be connected to all of those things. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I want to be connected to God. Amen. He says, I'm the great I am. It's November, it's Thanksgiving month, and we're talking and celebrating the goodness of God. Every Sunday morning of November, we're going to sing that song. We think about it, and it's so good to sing that out loud, but then I really want you to think about it. In all of these I am statements, sometimes the goodness of God is God correcting you, keeping you from going the wrong way. Or when you are going the wrong way, see, a good father, when his son goes the wrong way, he snatches him by a collar and he says, son, you're going the right way and you need to turn around and start doing it the right way. A good mom, when her daughter starts doing it the wrong way, she takes her by the hand and she says, sweetie, notice how the girl, we take their hand, the boy, we snatch him up. But we take her by the hand and we say, baby girl, we need to do this a little bit differently. This isn't the right way that we're going here. And that's how a good shepherd does it. When we're going the wrong way, God will tap us on the shoulder and say, remember what my word says, and get in there, because I'm not doing it out of punishment, because I'm not doing it because there's no more condemnation. I'm doing it out of chastening, because I'm trying to correct you so that it's not punitive, but so we can correct you because we want to keep you safe. In every single one of these I am statements, if you listen and apply them to your life, it will keep you perfectly squarely in the hedge of protection of God. Will my life be perfect? Heavens no. But I know this, when my life's not perfect, I can walk to the door. And Jesus says, I am the door. And I can go to him and I can say, door, I need to get into the sheepfold because I'm hurting right now. I'm struggling right now. I'm going through anxiety right now. I'm going through depression right now. My paychecks ain't what they should be. My family ain't treating me right. But I can go to the door and Jesus says, come on in. I am the door. And this door, he's also the one that says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest unto your soul. See, listen, this is more than just some statements that he makes. That I am God. He's saying this is literally practically how you live your life. And so if you are the branches and you stay connected to the vine, you're connected to the life and the resurrection. You're connected to the way, the truth, your life. You're connected to the door. You're connected to the good shepherd who's looking out for you. You are connected to God Almighty through his son, Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is a blessing and exciting all on its own. You know, I'm living my life the best I know how. People say that all the time, don't they? Just living my life. I'm doing the best that I can. You ever made that statement before? But you know what good fruit looks like? Good fruit's not doing it the best you can. Good fruit is saying, God, show me, purge me, so I can do it the best, period. Because when you do it God's way, it's perfection. Sometimes Baptist pastors, we pull this and fool everybody because we say this. The Bible says, be perfect for I am perfect. And we'll say, well, that just means be a mature Christian. It just means be good. And the word in the Greek would refer to that. But in the English, God says, be perfect. You say, well, I can't be perfect after I'm saved. And I agree. I don't believe in sinless salvation, that after you're saved, that you're going to remain sinless for the rest of your life. Maybe you've been sinless after the day you got saved and you've never sinned again. But if you told me that, I would call you a liar and that would make you a sinner. Because I've never known anybody that got saved and then they were just sanctified all of a sudden and they were just perfect, they were glorified, and they were just perfect the rest of their life. Because I've sinned after I got saved. Anybody, any sinners in here this morning, say, yeah, I sinned after I got saved. And I don't have to keep going back because I never got disconnected from the vine. I just wasn't producing as much fruit as I used to. And so the vine had to purge me. He had to cleanse me so I could grow back stronger and start producing fruit. There have been times in my life, even as a pastor, where I was producing a whole bunch of fruit and I'm like, yay, Lord, people getting saved. And then I got cold and something happened or my feelings got hurt or I wasn't doing it. And he said, okay, Bryson, let me clean you up a little bit. Let me purge you so you can grow back stronger. So you can get back. Listen, am I talking to myself or anybody else like that this morning? Come on now. Somebody else like that this morning that struggles with that hurts with that. And so this morning, I plead with you in this November thankfulness, this goodness of God month, I'm pleading with you. If you feel like you're hanging, by just a little thread. Get reconnected today to God. And it may mean that God has to purge you. And sometimes getting cut back won't feel good. Sometimes God meddling in your perceived business won't be so friendly and won't feel so positive, but it will be necessary in order for you to come back stronger than you ever were before. Church, I come to you in this time, this hour, pleading with you. Stay connected to the vine. Even when the word of God seems to hurt you, even when it seems too tough, too rough, because I know this, Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. Think about it this way. To be pruned doesn't cost you anything. It takes no effort from you. The one that's doing the cutting is doing all the work. I didn't understand this. Now listen to me. I didn't understand this until I understood this verse. My parents used to say, I'm going to give you a whooping and it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And as I got older, I understood a little bit more because the whooping only lasts for a little bit of time. And the pain generally only lasts while it's going on. But the fact that your parents had to whoop you as a parent pains them longer than the pain of the whooping. And over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ did the work. And he went to the cross. And it didn't do anything for you to get saved. It didn't take anything for you personally to get saved. It took no sacrifice for you to get saved. It took a perfect sacrifice from him. And he did the work by going to Calvary's cross, by taking the nails in the hands, by taking all the ridicule, by dying and by literally putting on the sins of the world upon his shoulders and severing it there so that you and I could live. He did all the pruning. He did all the purging. And all you have to do is be reverent enough, is to respect the fact that he is the vine, the true vine. Amen. And then say, Lord, I don't want you just to understand that I know you're the way, the truth, and life, but I want to be connected to you because I know you did the work so that I could grow. Yeah. This morning, I pray you might know that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's moving around. I pray that each person in this room today would fully comprehend the weight of Jesus' statement, I am the true